Good morning. Today's Daf in the Dharm, Ayin Beis. We're still here in the 10th parak of the Masechta, parak dedicated to the topic of Hafara, and specifically that of the Nara Marasa. Nara Marasa, as we have discussed now for some time, right, this 10th parak has started all the way back on Daf Samach Zayin, and we're today's Ayin Beis, okay? Almost a week here in this 10th parak, and the Nara Marasa construct is quite unique and interesting. If she just has a father and she's anywhere in the range of either being a katana or nara, so the father could be made for nadarim. Once she's a bogaris, the father can no longer be made for nadarim. If she's married, fully married, both erisin and nisuin, the husband can be made for nadarim. So, but over here, there's a situation in which they have a partnership over her neder. And the only way that the neder can be mufar is only if the two of them do it. And that's when she's an nara marasa. So Nara, in other words, and she still now is Shaykh to her father. And by the way, it could be Katana as well. Doesn't have to be Nara on this regard, but Nara. And also Murasa, Erisin. So Erisin now is the first stage of marriage, and so it connects her to the husband, but it's not fully married to the husband. So here in the case of Nara Murasa, so it's only the combination of the two. Okay, in the beginning of the parak, so what do we try to do? We try to find where in the Torah you're going to find this idea of Nara Marasa. That was the first two blot of the parak. But after that, a lot of lumdus. A lot of lumdus in this parak having to do mostly with the idea that over here you have a neder which is owned in partnership by two people. So how exactly does that partnership work? Is it that each one of them owns 50% of the neder? No. Or they each have shares in the neder in total. And it's klisha. In other words, when the first one does afara, it weakens the neder, and the second one knocks it out. So those are some of the basic questions of lumdus that we've been asking over the course of this perek. We also in lumdus dealt with who's a senior partner, who's a junior partner. That part's also clear. Father's a senior partner, and the arus is a junior partner. In fact, the arus is perfectly replaceable. That's what we spent a lot of time in yesterday's daf learning. Meaning that let's say the arus is out of the picture. And a new arus is replaced in the same day, right? The first arus dies or he divorces the first arus. She gets remarried that very day. And we talked yesterday, that's not what's supposed to happen. In other words, normally you're supposed to wait before getting remarried. But okay, she gets remarried the same day. So now the new arus can now partner with the father in order to be made for nedarim. Even a neder that was uttered during her first marriage. Which is strange, but again, once you understand this concept of senior partner, junior partner, it's not crazy that the junior partner can just simply get replaced. Okay, so that was a big part of our discussion in yesterday's daf. So now, as we are ready to embark on today's daf, so we're basically going to deal with one question on the Amud Aleph, and then on the Amud Beis also one question. So two questions in the course of today's daf. It's not a particularly long daf. A lot of these dafim over here in Nedarim have been shorter. So the question on the first amud of today's daf is basically going to be the following. He divorces her. Okay, so in the act of divorce, and she has a neder, and as he's divorcing her, and he doesn't say anything about the neder, how do we understand his default position regarding her Nedarim as he divorces her? Is it just simply going to be shtika? The Gemara is going to lay it out. But just previewing. Is it going to be shtika or is it going to be ahakama? Okay. I'll explain that better as we get to the Gemara. And that is going to be the totality of the question regarding from the Amud Aleph perspective. And the Gemara is going to end up not answering that question. Okay. And that ends Amud Aleph and then Amud Beis. So on Amud Beis, we're going to ask the question of whether or not hafar could be done, even if you didn't hear the neder. Okay. I know that sounds funny, but in other words, the Torah's description is that, and they heard the neder, but can you make afar without even hearing the neder? That's going to be the Amud Beis. Good. Amud Aleph. Ibai Lu. So we're going to be starting on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. Right? It's a short Amud. So four lines from the bottom, four lines from the top. Okay, good. Ibai Lu. Gerishin Kishtika Damia Oka Akama Damia. So he's Megarish her. Now, when I say her, who is she? I mean, meaning what position in life is she in right now? So she is right now a Nara Marasa, right? The Ran says that the question of the Gemara here is specific to Nara Marasa. So meaning to say that it's an Arus. Now, the Arus only went through the first stage of marriage, but as we all know, that's marriage, meaning they're married, they're husband and wife. They're not living together. It's an unusual stage of marriage. So they are not together. He has no financial responsibility towards her, and they're not intimate with one another. So it is admittedly an unusual stage of marriage, but still, it's marriage, right? If she is mezana during erusin, that's nus. It's an activacious ish, and she's going to be executed. So, but at the same time, however, he by himself does not have the ability to be made for the neder. Why? Because they're not fully married. Okay. So it is admittedly a confusing stage of marriage, but if she wants to extricate herself from that marriage, so what does she need? She needs a get. In other words, it's marriage. She needs a get. So he's been megarish her while they only went through erusin, and now he was megarish her. Now the Gemara's question is as follows: is that when he's megarish her and she has a neder and he knows she has a neder and he didn't say anything about the neder, so the act of gerishin can be construed as what? The Gemara gives two possibilities. So ibayluhu gerishin kishtika damya ka kamadamya. So possibility number one, shtika, which makes a lot of sense. In other words, what did he say when he divorced her? Nothing. Meaning vis-a-vis the neder. Okay. In other words, he knows that she made a neder, but he said nothing regarding the neder. So it could very well be that his silence is understood as, get ready for this, silence. In other words, he just simply is not saying anything regarding the neder. On the other hand, alternatively, no. Maybe, hakama. Meaning maybe when he divorces her, the act of divorce can be construed as an act of hakama.
You're silent, it means you agree with it?
No. In other words, not by nedarim. Yeah, in other words, normally we say shtika koda. That's true. That's when we're talking about a toin and nintan. If we're talking about litigation and someone accuses you of something and you have no response, so then we say shtika koda. That's by litigation. Over here, we're not litigating over here. In other words, the husband has an ability either to reject the neder or to reinforce the neder, to make or break the neder. But over here, he didn't say anything. So when you don't say anything, so you're neither made or break. However, the Gemara's question over here is the act of divorce. Maybe that can be construed as an act of hakama. Now, why? So over here, I'm going to direct everybody to the Ran. The Ran's found at the bottom of the Amudi, Bailahu, Gerishin Kishikadamika Akamadamyan. The Ran is about 7 lines from the bottom. Anyway, Mishum Dekevin Diyad Aris Delabasa Gerish Lomasi Mefer. V'lo hefer kodem gerishin, k'man de'ukme l'nidre dame. So maybe, in other words, how is the Gemara entertaining that divorce is kiyum? So what the Gemara here is entertaining is the following. And that is that this is going to be his last opportunity. Now, if he were to be made for the neder, you have to say it, obviously. We can't assume he's going to be made for the neder. But given that this is the last opportunity that he could do anything regarding the neder, so maybe his divorcing can be construed as hakama. That's a possibility. Okay. In fact, where else do we find this idea that silence is viewed as hakama? In other words, the day goes by and he doesn't say anything. Now, admittedly, but after the day goes by, you can't say anything. It's too late. But still, the idea is that once the day goes by, he didn't say anything. So that now is going to be interpreted as a default hakama. Okay? So maybe over here, when he's megarisher, that could also be interpreted as a default hakama. That, of course, is one possibility, but the other possibility could simply be that when he divorces her and he said nothing about the neder, it's because he said nothing about the neder. In other words, it simply wasn't in his thought process. It's not to be understood. It's not to be construed as a hakama. Okay. So these are the two possibilities in Lamai Nafkamina. The Gemara says, okay, great. Great question in Lamdus. Practically speaking, what does that mean? So the Gemara says, "Kagon shenadra v'shama bala v'gersha v'ahadra biyume." So the Gemara says, "I'll tell you what the nafkamina would be, and that would be is that let's say that right before the divorce, if it is to be understood as a hakama, so let's interpret the gershin as a hakama. He divorces her, and then he remarries her that day. Okay. In other words, admittedly, the man's a little fickle, but that doesn't bother us right now." So now when he remarries her, so what do we know? So what we learned in yesterday's daf, that the Arus is basically a junior partner. As a junior partner, so what he can do now is that when he marries her again, so he could be Mayfair, obviously, with the partnership of his father-in-law. So the two of them could be Mayfair the Neder. So now here's a nafkamina. Meaning, if Gerishin is an act of shtika, so now when he marries her a second time, there will now be eligibility for either Hakama or Afara in round number two. However, if Gerushin is viewed as Hakama, you can't be Mefer after you were Mekim. Once Hakama has been registered as your vote, you can't later turn around and say, I know I was Mekim, but now I want to be Mefer. Now, admittedly, by the way, earlier in this parak, we did talk about the idea that when you make a Hakama, so what you can do is you can be Shoel on your Hakama. That part's true. But right now, in other words, not to get bogged down in too many details, right now the Gemara just wants to know, how do we understand Gerushin vis-a-vis his vote towards the Neder? Is it Shtika or is it Hakama? And if it's viewed as Hakama, so that means that at a later point in time, if he decides to remarry her, so then he can't be Mefer, because he already registered a vote of Hakama. And when I say later on, good clarification, when I say later on, I mean the same day. Correct. Right now. And the Gemara just simply spells it out the way we just spelled it out. So Tashma. Okay, so that's the question on the table. And the Ron points out, by the way, the application of this, the practical nafkamin of this question, it's a great question in Lumdus, but the practical application is extraordinarily limited. Meaning it only is going to be in a case of Nara Amurasa. The Ron writes, consider the following. If we're talking about where she's fully married, Erisin and Nisuin, so now what? Now there's no longer a father. In other words, the father's not in the picture anymore. And now what? Now he divorces her and he remarries her, so he can't have any say on the previous neder. Why? Because we know that a Baal is not made for Bekodmim. So the only application of this question is only going to be in the case of Nara Marasa. Okay, fine. Tashma. So for the first Amud of today's daf, it's going to go real quick because it's basically back and forth on whether or not any Mishnah or any Braisa can go ahead and speak to this question. So we're going to go back to a Braisa that we've already covered a number of times, the Braisa back on Samaches, right? The various scenarios, five different scenarios back on Samaches, in which either the ability to be mefer is going to go back to the father, the ability to be mefer is not going to go back to the husband, and admittedly a complicated piece of Gemara. But anyway, we're just going to be quoting one section of the Braisa. Amasai Amru Mesa Bal Nisrokin Vishuslav. Under what circumstances where the husband dies and the ability to be mefer goes back, heads back to the father. So the Braisa gives us a number of examples. Bizman Shelo Shama Baal. This was the first case of the five cases on Samaches. So, and within that first case, there are three sub-cases. So number one, husband didn't hear about the neder, meaning dad did, the husband didn't. Number one. Or number two, Oshama Vehefer. Or maybe the husband heard and he was Mefer. Oh, Shama Vishasak. Umes. Or maybe he heard and he didn't respond. Umes Babayom. Good. And he died that day. So in any one of those circumstances where either he didn't hear about it, or he heard about it and he was Mefer, or he heard about it and he was Shosek. So now, Nisrokna L'Rishotav. So now, under any one of those circumstances, so all rights now go back to the father. The father can be Mefer the Neder. Good. Iyamar Gerushin Kishtika Dami Lesenami. Oh, Shama V'Giresh. So the Gemara says now, on our question, how do you view Gerushin? If Gerushin is in fact Shtika, so I got a great suggestion. And that is that you didn't have to stop at three examples. You could have given a fourth example. Oh, why didn't the Braisa give the fourth example? Me delotani hachish mamina gerushin ka kamadame. Ah, because I couldn't give that fourth example. Why? Because gerushin is to be interpreted as a kama. Ah, that's why. So the Gemara says, Ema Seifa. The Gemara says, I don't think so. Meaning, I don't think the diuk and the Braisa is a good diuk. Why? Because I'm just going to read on in the Braisa. Aval im shama v'kiyem, o shama v'shasak, umeis, b'yom shalacharav, en yachol ha'afir. Because the Braisa then goes on to say that if the husband heard and he was mekayem, or shama v'shasak, umeis, b'yom shalacharav, he heard and then a day went by, which again, after a day, it's a default hakama. So en yachol ha'afir. So now that the husband voted hakama, either actively or retroactively, so now... We don't say Nisrokna La'av. It doesn't go back to the father because the father can't be Mefer once the husband voted Hakama. So V'i'amar Gerushin Ka Hakama Dame. So now, what are we trying to argue? That Gerushin is an act of Hakama. So if that's true, so in the second half of the Braisa, give the case of Gerushin. list neviim shama vegirish ela midalo katani hachish mamina gerishin kishti kadame. So why didn't it write the case of gerishin? Because gerishin is not like hakama. So ela meha like ela mishmamina. Meaning that the Braisa cannot be used as proof because Gerishin was not listed in any one of the first cases of the Braisa. Gerishin was not listed in any one of the second cases of the Braisa. And then the Gemara points out that the purpose of the Braisa was just to create parallel and symmetry. And so therefore Gerishin can't fit because either Gerishin belongs in the first, but we don't have a parallel case of Gerishin in the second, or Gerishin belongs in the second, and we don't have a parallel case of Gerishin in the first. Okay. If you understood that point, great, and if not, I'll see the Ron, and who does a better job explaining it than I did. Anyway, the point is that Gerishin wasn't there, but you can't be Medayik, because it wasn't in the Rishon, it wasn't in the Seifa. Okay.
Rabbi, where are you up to?
Okay.
A person does not know when he's going to die. So when he doesn't say anything, and then he dies, it's very possible that he had intended to be made for, he has the whole day to do it. Right. Over Gerishin, yeah. He's actually doing an action.
Correct.
And it's usually a negative action.
Right.
Meaning they probably had a fight or something like that.
Right. Okay, what Rav Chaim is pointing out over here is that by Gerishin, since it's an act that he's doing, so it could be interpreted that there's more involved in the act. Meaning, right? That's why the Gemara is entertaining that Gerishin is really an act of Hakama. I'm sorry, Mitch. Ein Beis Amud Aleph, halfway down on the Amud. We're starting Tashma. Okay, so here we go again. So this will now be round two, meaning a couple of rounds of trying to quote Mishnayos or Braisos in order to prove one way or another how to interpret Gerishin. Is it shtika or is it a kama? So Tashma, so the Gemara continues, Nadra v'yarusa. So she made a neder and erusin. V'nizgarsha, v'nizgarsha baba yama filamea. Avio balach r'mefir nedereha. So over here, what do we have? So we have a case of what seems to be our case. Meaning she's an Ara Marasa. She underwent Gerishin. She remarried. And it can happen 100 times. Right, that happening 100 times, by the way. We heard that in yesterday's daf. We're hearing it again in today's daf. Right, it's just a way of reinforcing a point. Right, hard to marry 100 guys in one day. Okay, maybe impossible. Doesn't matter. Okay, fine. So the ubala achra mefir nedera. But again, it seems to be describing our case over here, and in our case. So you see that after Gerishin, so now what happens is that a later Arus can go ahead and be Mefer. Oh, so it sounds like that the only way to interpret Gerishin is Shtika. It can't be interpreted as a Kama. Because if it were interpreted as a Kama, you can't do Hafara post Hakama. So Shmamina Gerishin Kishtika Dami. The Hakama Dami Mimati Mefer Arus Achron. Nidjudu Kama Arus Rishon. Okay, then Gemara makes exactly that point. So, Hacha b'maiskin and b'shalosh shama arus rishon. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but in other words, you don't know the exact parameters of the Braisa. You don't know the details of the Braisa. Could it not be that the Braisa is talking about who heard the neder? We're assuming the arus heard the neder. I don't know, says the Gemara. Maybe the case of the Braisa is where the father heard the neder. So the Gemara says, Ihachi ma'ir ya baba yama fil acher mea yamim nami. Nami. So the Gemara says, really? So I went one step ahead. Meaning right now what the Gemara is proposing is nobody heard the neder. Now if nobody heard the neder, so maybe that's the case of the Braisa. To which the Gemara then simply responds, if nobody heard the neder, we don't have till the end of the day, we have till the end of time. Meaning you're only on the clock after somebody hears the neder. Now it could be the father, could be the Arus, doesn't matter. But in other words, someone has to hear the neder. So the Gemara says, right? So the Gemara says, Nami kishlo shama arus v'shama av. The baba yom hadu the matzim efer aval mekam ve'elach la matzim efer. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, good. You know what? Perfect. I'll clarify. The father heard the neder, but the arus didn't hear the neder. So in other words, so now when we're trying to interpret how to interpret gerushin. So I know the Braisa says that after Gerushin, if he or somebody else remarries her, they can go ahead and can be Mefer. But maybe the Braisa under discussion is talking about a case where the Aris didn't hear the Neder. Aye. If the Aris didn't hear the Neder, who did? The answer is very simple. The father heard the Neder. So now that the father heard the Neder, now we're on the clock. We have till the end of the day to be Mefer the Neder. And being that we have the end of the day to be Mefer the Neder, so I, the Aris, divorced her. Yeah, but the Aris is replaceable. And if the, and if she gets another Aris later that day, so the next Aris can go ahead and be Mefer the Neder. And what does it tell us about Gerushin? Nothing. Because the case under discussion is talking about a case where the Aris didn't even hear about the Neder. Okay. Tashma.
Sounds to me like they should call this case before the other one.
Okay.
Because it's a clear one.
It is. Okay. It's a better raya. The Gemara dismissed it anyway, but okay. Fine. Tashma Nadra Baba Yom, Girsha Vechzir Baba Yom, and Yochala Hafir. Okay, so the Neder was that day. Girsha Vechzir Baba Yom. So Ein Yochala Hafir. Shma Mina Girshin Ka Kamadame. So here we go. Once again, I think this is round three. So over here we have a Braisa. I don't know. The Braisa is pretty clear. Right? She made a Neder. He was Megarisher. He took her back that very day. So Ein Yochala Hafir. So what do you see over here? Gershin ka kamadame. So Amar hacha b'nisu naskinan. So the Gemara says, once again, you're giving me a brisa. We have no context of the brisa. You're assuming the brisa is talking about a nara marasa. That's an assumption. How about this? How about the brisa is not talking about a nara marasa? The brisa is talking about where she's fully married. She underwent nisuin. Oh. And by the way, now that you're saying that, now the pshat in the brisa is glot. Meaning, the Braisa now is just talking about a case where she's fully married and then divorced and then she gets remarried, even if it's to the same guy. You know why he can't be made for her, the previous neder? Because a husband can't be made for a bekodmim. That could be the case of the Braisa. And therefore, now the Braisa has nothing to do with Nara Marasa, therefore has nothing to do with our discussion. Okay. Good talk. So now, right, so the Ron points out over here that what just happened, the Gemara asked the question, how do we interpret Gerushin? Is it Shtika or is it Akama? And after the Gemara's discussion has come to an end, what did we just realize? The Gemara left this question inconclusive. Where does that take us in terms of the Halacha? See the Ron. The Ron quotes the position of the Ramban. He quotes the position of the Rashba. Honestly, it's a really interesting discussion regarding today's daf and yesterday's daf. Right, the Rashba points this out. The Rashba points out that if you look at yesterday's daf, you'll see that this question can be proved from yesterday's daf. And why the Gemara didn't do it? So I'll just tell you that yesterday it only is through a statement of Shmuel. And so what the Rashba points out is that when the Gemara is trying to prove something, so proof really primarily comes from either a Mishnah or a Braisa. Right? You'll notice that what we just did in the last 15 minutes is that we've been trying to prove it either from a Mishnah or a Braisa. You could go back to yesterday's daf and you could cite Shmuel, and Shmuel would inform us about this particular topic, but Shmuel's an Amora. So, okay, Shmuel has an opinion, and not only does he have an opinion, meaning he's an Amora, right? But in other words, when the Gemara is seeking proof for something, so proof generally is going to come either from a Mishnah or a Braisa. Anyway, see the run inside. Where the Rishonim debate where exactly we land on this particular topic.
Is it all the same if the father dies too?
Hold on one second. Right, the Zoomers are asking, the live people are asking. That's good. It's good. I'm getting from every side. Okay, Phil. I'm sorry, Phil. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying if this Braisa is interpreted as a Nesua, then what's a Chiddush of a Braisa? We know that.
When you say we know because
we know
from before. But in other words, we know because there's a Mishnah or a Braisa that teaches us that. This Braisa could be just one of those Braisas that teach us that point. Okay. Meaning it's obvious only after we know it, but how do we know it? Because it was taught by either a Mishnah and some before. But the Gemara is quoting a Braisa right now. The Braisa is teaching the same point. Marty, go ahead.
I was just going to say, is it also parallel to father dies?
No. In other words, the question of today's Gemara is specific to Gerushin. Because by Gerushin, you're actively rejecting her. In other words, death, there's no active rejection in death, as Rav Chaim pointed out earlier. In other words, death happens, you know, with or without your interest. But over here, you're actively dismissing her. So in that act of dismissal, are you also making a statement regarding the neder? That's the Gemara's question. Now, again, it's a great question, but its application is extremely limited because it only has application in the case of Nara Marasa. Adkan, the Amud Aleph, we turn to the Amud Beis. A new topic of discussion, and that is putting in a hafara order in advance. Okay? You know how we can now order our food in advance? Okay. So can you put in a hafara order in advance? Perfect. So now the Gemara is going to be discussing. First, we start with the Mishnah. Ayin Beis Amud Beis Mishnah. Derech Chamid Chacham Emashalo Aitzah Bita Yotzes Meitzlo. Amalo Kol Nedarim Shenedarta Pesach Beisi Arein Mufarin Vechein Abal Achalo Tikanas LeRishusi. Amalo Kol Nedarim Shenedarta Achalo Tikanas LeRishusi Arein Mufarin She Mishi Tikanas LeRishusi Ani Yochala Afir. So over here, the Mishnah describes the following: Derech Chamid Chachamim, meaning that when you're a Talmid Chacham, so you understand, right? You understand halacha. And you understand, in other words, when you have the last opportunity to do something. So as a Nara Hamurasa, where she now is, her next step in life is going to be, she's going to fully marry her husband. She's going to go from Erison to Nisuin. Now, in that step, so what's going to now happen is that the father is totally removed from the picture. And not only that, but now as a fully married woman, her husband can no longer have any say on any neder that was made historically. Einu mefer bekodmim. So, here's a great piece of advice, and that is that before making the step to go from a Nara Marasa to a Nesua, so the father and her Arus should basically say, here we are, we're going to be made for all Nedarim. Now, did they hear the Neder? Sounds like from the Mishnah, no. They didn't hear the Neder. But just in case that a Neder was made, and now this is going to be our last opportunity to actually have the ability to do so, so we're taking advantage of the opportunity, and we're going to be made for nedarim. Good, and they're both going to do it. Now, why the Mishnah says derech tamid chachamim is very simple, and that is that if you're not a tamid chacham, you don't know any of this. Meaning, right? That we are right now in the 10th parak of nedarim, learning the details of afara and nara marasa and shutfus and partnership, and these are complex halachas. So over here, so in other words, if you know about him, meaning i.e. You're holding your Talmud Chacham, great. So you take advantage of it. But if you don't know about it, so then obviously you won't be able to take advantage of it. Okay, and as we start with the Gemara, so the Gemara over here is going to be addressing an extremely simple question, but as you'll see, the answer is going to be unclear, at least for the balance of today's daf, and tomorrow we're going to continue litigating this question. And that is, the husband's ability to be mefer. Did he actually have to hear the neder? Or in other words, or maybe the wife made a neder. He didn't hear about it, but he wakes up in the morning and I'm made for your neder. Okay. In other words, did he hear it? No. And does that hafara, even in the absence of shmia, does hafara work? And the Ran points out over here that the Gemara's question is not just limited to Nara Marasa. This question of Rami Barchama is an expansive question, meaning under any circumstance where somebody has the ability to be made fair, does a mefer have a prerequisite of you need to hear the neder in order for your hafara to work? That's exactly the Gemara's next question. So vishami isha dafkahu, olav dafkahu. And I know that the Torah says vishami isha, and vishami isha, so when the Torah says vishami isha dafka, meaning is it now a prerequisite, or lav dafka? Or no. In other words, what the Torah is describing is what usually happens. What usually happens is that the husband hears and therefore is going to respond. But maybe it's not a prerequisite, it's just simply a description. But as far as prerequisites are concerned, it's not necessary. Meaning the ability of the husband or father. Again, this question now is a broad question. So it's not just limited to Nara Marasa. This ability of a Baal Mefer, whoever has a right to be Mefer, so is the hafara ability even in the absence of actually hearing the neder? Okay. So, Amarava Toshma. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's see. And where are we going to look? We're going to look at our Mishnah. Because what does our Mishnah seem to describe? Exactly the scenario. So Tashma Derech Tamid Chachamim Mashal Lo Yasus Bita Meyatzal Amar Lo Kol Nedarim Shenadat Bezoch Beisi Harein Mufarin. So it sounds like, what is the father being mefer? He doesn't know. In other words, but in the event that there is a neder outstanding, so I'm going to be mefer it. Okay. So it sounds like the father didn't hear about it, and still he's going to be mefer. V'halo shama. So the Gemara says l'chi shama hu de mefer. So the Gemara says l'chi shama. What he's doing is that he's being mefer when he actually, in other words, when I hear about it, I'm placing my hafara order in now. So when I hear about it, I'm actually going to, the hafara is going to work. Im ken ki lo shama lama li lamemer. So the Gemara says, now the if that's true, meaning that he is only going to be mefer when he hears about it. So now, let me first finish pshat, and then I'll come back and I'll explain to you why I'm a little right. It's a little bit confusing, but just a simple pshat. So if that's true that he's only going to be mefer when he hears about it, so what's happening over here? So what's happening over here is that he's going to investigate, meaning he's going to speak to his daughter and he's going to say, look, right, you're about to leave my rishus. I want to be made for your nadarim. You got anything that you need to share with me? And only after she shares it with him, then he's going to be made for it. Okay, so Tashma. So right now, what the Gemara is trying to prove is from our Mishnah, you can be made for it even if you didn't hear. And the counter argument of the Gemara is, nah, what the Mishnah is describing is not that he's being made for without hearing. He's being made for when he hears. When he hears. So then what are we saying? What are you saying? That he's going to investigate. Okay. So Tashma mi seifa v'chena ba'al shalot tikhanas l'reshusa omer la hachana midar omer la l'chi shamana. Okay. So, and we could say the same thing regarding the Baal. Meaning, in the Mishnah, not only did the father do this, but the Aris did this as well. Again, same situation. In other words, the Aris is now going to ask her, do you have any nadarim that I can be made for? Okay, Tashma. Okay. So, so what it comes down now from the Gemara is at this point, how far it can be done only when you hear it. Again, we don't know. We're asking the question. But from the Mishnah, it doesn't prove anything because in the Mishnah, we could give the ukimta in the Mishnah where you are being mefer, but only after an investigation. Tashma. Harmeli shal kol nedarim shetador ha-shahava mimakom ploni harein kayamim lo amar klum harein mufar Rebbe Lazar omer mufar harein omer mufar. Okay, so now this is a Mishnah coming up in just a couple of days. This is a 9 hay. Okay. And that is, now we get to talk about the pre-ordering. Okay, I want to pre-order a hakama, doesn't work. I want to pre-order a hafara, machlokus, whether it works or does not work. It's a machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Okay. Now, in terms of why you can't pre-order a hakama, so we're going to discuss this more in 9 hay, but if I could just say simply right now, you can't pre-order a hakama. You can't put in a vote of hakama prior to the neder made because what is a hakama? I'm reinforcing a neder. You can't reinforce something that isn't here yet. Okay. So if you try to put the hakama before the neder, it simply doesn't work. Okay. And Davra Muskam, everyone agrees to that. What about putting in a hafara order in advance? Okay. You didn't make the neder yet, but I'm going to be made for in advance. Does that work? So as we just pointed out, it's a machlokus between the Tanaim. What is Shitas Rabbi Eliezer that you could do the hafar before she makes the neder? How does that work? So in Ayin Hey, we're going to be spending a lot of time on this question. For our purposes right now, it works. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it works. You can put in the hafar before the neder. Okay. So now the Gemara wonders. So, Vahalo Shama. Now, if you can put in your hafara vote before she makes a neder. So in other words, did you hear the neder? Obviously no. In other words, at the point of hafara, the hafara now is placed before the neder is placed, before she made the neder. So he didn't hear it. What the Gemara now is doing is using this as a proof that knew what? That must be the hafara could be done, even in the absence of Shmia. The Gemara says, Hachanami, Damar Lechi Shamana. So the Gemara says, okay. So here's what you're telling me. You're telling me that how is the hafara in advance going to work? It's going to work because later when she makes a neder, he's going to hear the neder. So when he hears the neder, so now the hafara that he made in advance, can go ahead and revoke the neder that she makes later, but only under the circumstance in which she hears it. The Gemara says, really? So all this seems to be a terrible waste of time, meaning that the neder is only going to be revoked upon him hearing it. How about this? How about when he hears it, he just simply says, I'm revoking the neder. So kasava dema matrina hiya shaita. So the Gemara says, yeah, and what he's concerned about is that he'll be too busy. Meaning right now I got some time. Okay, so I'll it's funny. How long does it take for the husband to be mefer? Okay, but in other words, but you're tired, you're preoccupied. So under the concern that later on you'll just simply be too preoccupied. Meaning when the Gemara says too busy, you're just simply not going to have mental space, mental capacity to go ahead and be made for later. So what you do is you'll be made for now, and it works for a future neder. Now what about the question, Rami Bar Chama? Doesn't this prove that the hafara works even without you hearing the neder? And the Gemara says, not necessarily. Because even though you put your hafara order in early, in advance, it still is not going to be effective until you actually hear the neder that was articulated. And then what you could do is you can go ahead now and apply the hafara that you submitted in at an earlier point in time. Okay, I can. And so right now, the question Rami Bar Chama is still outstanding. But they're going to continue discussing and resolving. Not necessarily, whatever. The first part of tomorrow's daf is a conclusion of this discussion of Rami Bar Chama. Okay, let's quickly recap. Let's review our day today. Number one, an act of gerushin vis-a-vis a neder. You didn't say anything about the neder, but you were magarisher. So is that viewed as a default shtika, or is that viewed as a default hakama regarding your vote towards the neder? And answers the Gemara. Gemara doesn't answer. Gemara asks, nafkamina, of course, would be is that if at a later point in time you remarry her. So now if your gerushin was hakama, too late. You can't undo your hakama vote. If the gerushin is shtika, okay. So at a later point in time, you can be mefer if you remarry her. And by the way, it doesn't have to be you. It could be somebody else as well. But regardless, either way, so how do we view gerushin? So that was the first part of today's daf. The entire first amud of today's daf went back and forth on that issue, unresolved. And an unresolved issue, even amongst the Rishonim, it's unresolved. Right? The Ran quotes, the Ramban, the Rashba, the whole issue remains unresolved. The Shulchan Aruch does paskin, but as far as the Rishonim are concerned, debating as well. Second part of today's daf, so a Mishnah talking about Talmid HaChachamim and Derech Talmid HaChachamim, where, given that once she's leaving her stage of Nara Marasa, father and Aris no longer can be made for Nedarim, so take advantage of your last moments of being able to be made for Nedar. And so they're going to be made for Nedar before she, as she walks away from being a Nara Marasa. Good. So now, but the question of really of Amud Beis is as follows, does Hafara work without Shmia? Meaning, if she made a Nedar, and whoever can be made for it, doesn't matter. In other words, this question is a broad question. It's not limited to Nara Marasa. Could be the father, could be the husband, could be anyone. So can there be a Hafara done without having heard? Now, granted, the Torah says Vishama Avia, but it could just simply be that the Torah is describing what typically happens. But maybe the Hafara works even without the Shmia. That's Rami Bar Chama's question. And so far, what we did is we tried to prove it two times over. Once from our Mishnah here in Ayin Beis, and once from a Mishnah in Ayin Hay. So far, inconclusive. We have no proof whatsoever, neither from our Mishnah, nor from the Mishnah in Ayin Hay. Our Mishnah describes how the father and the Arus are going to go and be Mefer. It seems like they didn't hear. The Gemara says, no, they investigated. They asked her, "Nu, tell me what Nedarim you made." Right, the Derech Talmid HaChachamim is La'adure, to do a little bit of investigation. And the Mishnah 9, hey, where you're submitting your Hafara order in advance, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, that works, so at a later point in time when she makes a Neder, now your Hafara that you pre-ordered now can be applied. You didn't hear the Neder? The Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe then your Hafara, even though made in advance, only works only when you hear the actual Neder. Okay, we have no proof as of yet. Tomorrow we continue discussing this issue. Mm-hmm.